drasha for Seder Re'ei Tavshin Samach Zayin. The bracha and klala inherent in mitzvahs and averus. The Abarbanel explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu says Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lifneichem Hayom bracha uklala, he's not referring specifically to the blessings and the curses that were uttered on Har Grizim and Har Eva when they entered Eretz Yisrael, but rather the following. Moshe Rabbeinu's main intention in his farewell address to the Jewish people, which is the Book of Devarim, was to relate to them and explain to them the various mitzvahs, some that he already told them and needed further explanation, and some that he hadn't told them yet, but in anticipation of entering Eretz Yisrael, now he'd have to tell them the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. However, before that, he gave a synopsis of their history from the time they left Mitzrayim, and the trials and travails that they went through, and the sins that they committed, and he gave them Musar and Tochacha. And now, in this week's Sedra, he's ready to begin to explain the mitzvahs. Before that, he gives one last preface to put the mitzvahs and averas into perspective. And he tells the Jewish people, Re'ei, Anochi Nosein Lifneichem Hayom Bracha Uklala. The mitzvahs and averas that I am going to begin to explain to you, they themselves intrinsically, are a bracha or a klala. If you fulfill them properly, they are a bracha. And if you don't, then they themselves are the klala. This echoes the Medrash that says on the verse, Mipi Elyon Lo Seitzei Haros VeHatov. From God's mouth do not come the good and the bad. But the mitzvahs and averas themselves are intrinsically the bracha and the klala, the good and the bad. And the bracha, es habracha, specific, exact. It's like the bullseye, says the Abarbanel. There's only one bullseye. You have to hit it exactly in the middle. And therefore, the way to bracha is by keeping the mitzvahs properly. And es habracha asher tishma'un, you will be fortunate if you keep them. And in the end, the Torah says, I'm sure the Jewish people will keep them. Asher tishma'un. And however, the klala has many, many ways of reaching the klala. Once you don't hit the bullseye, there's many ways you can go off the bullseye, to the right or to the left, above and below. And therefore, there are three possibilities how to reach the klala. One is imlosishmu. You won't learn. And you won't do the mitzvahs properly. And if you don't do the mitzvahs properly, they themselves become a klala. Or you will learn. And you will know the mitzvahs very well. But v'sartim min haderech, you will follow your yetzer hara. And you'll go after your yetzer hara, even knowing what the mitzvahs really are and what you should be doing. And that will lead you to curse. Or you will know the mitzvahs, and you even will fulfill them. But you will attach them to foreign ideologies, to foreign standards and goals and lifestyles. You will do them in conjunction with Avodah Zarah. And then those mitzvahs and averas also will turn into a klala. And that's why the Kotzker Rebbe explains that to be able to contemplate this and understand this, you need each person to look, Re'ei, in the singular. Each person, even though, Nosein Lifneichem Hayom, God gives us the Torah equally. Everybody is given the same Torah. But each person has his specific look to know how to approach the Torah and how to utilize his own nature and his weaknesses and strengths to be able to make sure that the Torah and mitzvahs remain for him a bracha. And because of that, you need a tremendous amount of contemplation and introspection and thought. Re'ei means to think deeply. Because, for one reason, the bracha and the klala are not immediately recognizable. As the Vilna Gaon says, Schar mitzvah b'hayal malekah, since reward for mitzvahs is not in this world, so you don't always see the bracha immediately. And also, the idea of bracha is increase. More and more, you will have a life of increase and hatzlacha and success. And klala is the opposite, kal, light. you'll have a life of deficiency and failure. But however, what is in fact the increase and what is the deficiency is not always obvious to the naked eye, because sometimes you can have a lot of things quantitatively, but the quality makes it worthless. And you can have a small amount of quantity, but the quality is makes it very, very worthwhile and very heavy. The klala is kal, it's light. It could look on the outside enormous, but it has no inside. It's hollow, it's light. And the bracha, on the other hand, may look small compared to the klala physically, externally, but it's heavy, it's substantial. Also, the bracha sometimes comes even before you do the mitzvahs, as the Hemek Dover points out, that the Medrash says, "Me on the pasuk, mi hikdimani va'ashalein, who came before me when I pay reward for mitzvahs is not only after the mitzvah is done, but sometimes I give a mikdama, an advance, right? No one put up a mezuzah till he had a house. No one put on tzitzis till he had a beged. He had a garment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the bracha in anticipation that one is going to use it in the proper way and maintain it as a bracha. And the bracha also is that a Torah life is a fortunate life, a blessed life. And the results are eternally fortunate and blessed. All of that goes in to the bracha that is inherent and intrinsic to the mitzvahs themselves. The Or HaChaim points out another aspect. He says, Re'ei aninosin lifneichem is going on the fact that God had given them Eretz Yisrael and mentioned it in the last Sedra, that he's giving them Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance. And realize what I gave you itself inherently can be a bracha or a klala. Eretz Yisrael itself you can use as a bracha if you keep the mitzvahs there, or you can turn Eretz Yisrael into a klala. And therefore, before they entered Eretz Yisrael and began fulfilling the mitzvahs there, to both make the mitzvahs themselves a bracha and not a klala, and to transform Eretz Yisrael into a place of bracha and not of klala, they needed something to sense and see clearly this idea. So they, the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded them to give the brachas and the klalas on these two mountains, Har Grizim and Har Eval. Har Grizim, where the bracha was given, was a mountain full of vegetation. And Har Eval, where the klalas were given, was a barren mountain. You could see with your senses the difference between the bracha and the klala, and realize that if you go into Eretz Yisrael, right, most of these brachas and klalas were things that people did privately, where one would say, well, where's the bracha? No one knows. Where's the klala? No one will find out. But if it's intrinsically a bracha or a klala, even if no one knows and no one will find out, intrinsically you're blessed or you're cursed. In addition, if you look at the 11 things that are mentioned in the brachas and klalas over there, so they either have to do with gilui arayos, or in some way damaging another person, which is like shvichas damim, or actual shvichas damim, and avodah zarah, because those are the three things that defile Eretz Yisrael and turn it into a place of klala, a place of curse. And therefore, because the mitzvahs can either be a bracha or a klala, there's no middle way. And it's either bracha or klala. That's why it's compared to life and death. You can't be partially alive. Either you're alive or you're dead. So, and this is the concept of din. This is the aspect of din in mitzvahs and aveiros. God gave us mitzvahs that if we use them properly, they will give us tremendous schus and merit and chesed from God eternally. And that's what his intention. But in order that we should have free choice, we can abuse those same mitzvahs and make them into a klala. And we have the free choice. It's either one way or the other. That's din. However, the Rabban Shem saw that we can't exist with din alone, so he accompanied that din with rachamim. And rachamim does not destroy the din, as the Mesilas Yesharim explains. It mitigates it. It gives us another chance. Even if you have made your life into a klala, you can turn it back into a bracha by doing tshuva. And the Rachamim looks at the good in the midst of the bad, and looks for possible middle ways that are not so extreme one way or the other to bring a person merit. That is the Rachamim. Elul, interesting, has two perspectives to it. On the one hand, Elul is the 30-day period in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom HaDin, when the books of life and death are opened, bracha and klala, and therefore Elul has in it the concept of emas hadin, pachad, fear of this judgment, where there is no mercy. It's either bracha or klala. On the other hand, Elul is also the beginning of the 40-day process, days of ratzon, days of mercy and desire from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that ended in the atonement for the sin of the golden calf. And this echoes what Chazal say, that the Rabbanu Shem originally created the world by Midas Hadin, and then he added the concept of Rachamim. I was thinking, perhaps, the idea is the following. Adam HaRishon was created on the first day of Tishrei, and that day he sinned and he was judged and banished from Gan Eden, and that was din. That was, he didn't use the mitzvah he had as a bracha, it became a klala. And he wasn't actually sent out of Gan Eden over Shabbos, which was the second day of Tishrei, and on the third day of Tishrei, Motzoi Shabbos, he was banished from Gan Eden. At that point, he began to sit shiva for himself, because he was as if a dead man. The day he ate and transgressed the mitzvah, that was death. And it's as if he died. And he mourned himself for 7 days, till the ninth day of Tishrei. On the 10th day of Tishrei, he began his rehabilitation. He began with Rachamim, another chance, a second chance. So therefore the 10th day of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, is this idea of adding Rachamim. So we find this dual nature of Elul. It's a time of Pachad, Emas Hadin. It's a time of Yomei Ratzon, Ani L'Dodi, V'Dodi Li. And the way to affect that Rachamim, to have that second chance, is Tefillah, Tshuva, and Tzedakah, Mavirin Esroa HaGzeira. Through Tefillah, Tshuva, and Tzedakah, one can avert the decree that comes from abusing the mitzvahs and making them into a klala, but there's a second chance. There's a way to rectify that. And that's hinted to in Elul too. Because Elul is hinted to in Anila Dodiva Dodili, which hints to Tefillah. It's hinted to in Umol Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav Zarecha is Tshuva. And Ish L'Re'ehu Matanos Levyonim is Tzedakah. So if we understand the tremendous opportunity we have in Elul, both to recognize, Re'eh, the intrinsic nature of mitzvahs and averus, that they themselves either bring blessing now and in the future, and even before we do them, or they bring us curse, totality, but also the Yemei Ratzon that Elul represents, that even if we've strayed from the path and we haven't hit the bullseye, and we've made our lives to a certain degree lives of klala, there's hope, there's chance to rectify, to change direction, to get back onto the bullseye in the Yemei Ratzon, in the process of tshuva that culminates on Yom HaKadosh, on Yom HaKippur.